And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm just doing a solo pod today just to make sure that we get three shows out this week. We've got New Year's Eve Thursday, New Year's Day Friday. So we're going to do kind of a combo Wednesday, Friday pod tomorrow. But I thought that we would get you three shows out this week. So I was going to answer as many questions as I can. Of course, you guys always deliver when it comes to the questions. Be sure to also ask questions in the chat. If you're watching live on YouTube, be sure to ask questions because I'll be looking at them. And thanks for subscribing. And if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel yet, just go to YouTube, search Down to Dunk, and hit that subscribe button. We'd appreciate that very much. Let's go to the Twitter questions. First question comes from at Brian Nix, my neighbor growing up, Brian Nix. Our starting lineup is TGTT, too good to tank. If they just trade one of Horford or Hill, does that make us just bad enough to tank? You know, I think that it probably does, because what's really working for the starting lineup is just the fact that they are all kind of glued together in a way. And a part of that glue, certainly a huge part of that glue, is Al Horford and George Hill, because they're just two pros out there with the three young guys, Shea, Baisley, and Dort, and they just do the right thing almost every time. They're taking the right kinds of shots. They're making the right kinds of passes. Horford is setting great screens. Horford is spacing for the team. George Hill is spacing for the team. They've been outstanding. Now, if you just, Horford's going to be the tough one to deal, because if you just take a look around the league, there's not a lot of landing spots that makes sense. And the landing spots, his ultimate landing spot may not make total sense. I would have never, ever picked the Pelicans to be a team to trade for Steven Adams. I would have never thought that would be a thing, but it was. And I think Steven is doing really great stuff with Brandon Ingram, and we actually get to see that this week against the Thunder. But man, George Hill is a great spacer. He's a really good passer. He was ferocious last night. We obviously are going to talk about Lu Dort and how good he was last night, but George Hill was fighting for the basketball over and over and over again and hitting shots. I mean, he's shooting 50% from three on four of eight from three on the season. So obviously this is all small sample size theater, but he's been super good for the Thunder, and he's their guy, like their designated free throw shooter. And he serves some pretty big purposes out there. And if you just trade him, then who are we talking about sliding in place of him? Do you move Dort over and throw in Hami? You throw in Kenrich Williams? I don't think you throw in Maledon, but maybe you do. The choices aren't great. Then you're talking about digging in deep to the bench. Do you play Justin Jackson? I don't know. I don't know. Does Darius Miller play? I don't know. It'd be a different team. It'd be quite a different team, because the downgrade from George Hill to a Hamidou Diallo or to a Kenrich Williams is pretty significant. So I do think that even if it's just that one, would really help. Obviously, you would, if you really want to tank, you want to trade both. You want to get them both out of here. But I do think that just getting George Hill out of here would change things enough, because the starting lineup is really good. I was talking with Royce Young about this at the game last night. The starting lineup is really good, but the bench is so bad. And that is going to help them lose games like that. If they just had one more guy, I mean, just one more, the caliber of like a George Hill, maybe if it was even just that Trevor Ariza is here and he's playing, he could be that one more guy. They win that game. One, they blow out the Hornets and they win against Utah last night. They just need that one more guy. But the fact that you're playing all these kind of hodgepodgey guys off the bench, it really does help this team kind of get to where they want to go. And, you know, the franchise, the front office, it helps them get to where they want to go. The team itself and the coaching staff, the players, they want to win. It is clear. I mean, that team is playing incredibly hard, incredibly hard. This is from Sticky Wizard 00. A few weeks back, I submitted a question about SGA being too good to tank. You said not to worry. So my question is, what's the second biggest lie you've told? SGA has been good. He's been really good. In two games, he has averaged 23.5 points, 8 assists, 5 boards, shooting 53% from 2, 15% from 3. You think he's 2 of 13 from 3. So obviously not a great start shooting the 3 ball, but he's played really, really well. And I still don't think that – I do think that Hill and Horford are really propping up this team right now. And they're playing super hard. And I just don't – I don't know how sustainable really any of that is. And I would still stand by my statement that SGA on his own is not too good to tank. At Ben Elephant King wants to know, are there any fan bases panicking already? I think like the number one panic fan base is probably the Wizards. They're 0-3. They brought in Russell Westbrook. They're very excited. And then things just are not going well for them. And they're losing. And their fourth quarters have been atrocious. And there's some bright spots. Like Denny Avdia looks pretty good. And Bradley Beal obviously is great. And Bradley Beal is really the center of the worry, right? Because Brad Beal could leave. He could ask out. And there would be tons of people lining up to trade for him. There may be more teams lining up to trade for Beal than there would be for Harden just because of the off-the-court stuff and the age factor as well. So Bradley Beal really holds all the cards for this team. And if they start, and I think Fred Katz said this on the Athletic NBA show, which you should listen to. It came out this morning. I produced it. He said, like, if they start 7-15, then you start to worry. Because this team does not have a super long shelf life outside of Bradley Beal. So there's definitely some panic there. Where else could there be? I mean, Houston is another one where they're 0-2. They want to keep James Harden. They've been super terrible. Golden State, full-time panic mode. They're right now in two games. Their opponent's points per game, 130. 130. It's the worst in the league. They've been super terrible. Turns out, Kelly Oubre, not close to Klay Thompson. Not even close at all. So to me, those are probably teams that are panicking. Other than that, like the Lakers 2-2, meh, you know, they'll be fine. The Clippers losing by 50. Paul George doesn't think it's a big deal. Of course he doesn't. Paul George doesn't think anything's a big deal. Just the way that Paul George functions. Oh, let's go over to the chat real quick. Greetings from Germany. Wow, the Fluky. Thanks for joining. Paul Eng from the Philippines. Thank you so much. Darius Stan from Oklahoma. Thank you for joining. We've got Penny joining. What's up, Penny? Really great. From Norway. Greetings from Norway. My goodness. Lars Aya. Wow. Thanks so much for joining in the chat and on YouTube. Hello from Brazil. Wow. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Let's see. James Anderson at 405 Fan wants me to rank these teams currently. There's a lot of teams there, James. OKC, Charlotte, Chicago, Golden State, Detroit, Washington, Memphis, and the Knicks. This is just you're trying to get in my head here, James. trying to get in my head here. I think OKC, as constructed, is probably better than all those teams, especially with Ja Morant going down in Memphis. Because the Knicks stink. I would still probably put Washington above OKC. I think they have a higher ceiling, and they are going to maybe even add pieces as they go. So I'll say Washington, even currently, I'll say Washington over OKC. Charlotte stinks. I know they beat the Nets. Cool. Don't believe it. Chicago stinks. Golden State stinks. Detroit stinks. So, yeah, they have a ways to go. Now, if they do trade Horford and Hill, then we're talking a different conversation. But, yeah, the OKC is probably better than all those teams, but maybe Washington. But they defend better than Washington. They defend a lot better than Washington. So maybe that's a problem. Jacob from Slovenia. Wow. Morgan from Georgia. Evan McDonald from Portland, Oregon. Up there with my guy, Al Baby Cakes. Okay, let's go back to Twitter. This is from @Bangelup. Could Lu Dort win Defensive Player of the Year 1 year? I think the answer is yes. He definitely could win it in a season, especially if the Thunder can get back to contention in the next 4 years or so, because it's unlikely that you can win Defensive Player of the Year on a team that's not like a top five team in the NBA. Now, if the Thunder could climb back up there and become a top five team in the NBA, let's say they get a nice draft pick in 21 and 22, they're able to put together some trades, and you're suddenly just this great team. And Lu Dort, I mean, Lu Dort locked up Donovan Mitchell for 42 minutes of that game. Completely locked him up. He was incredible. And there was a lot of possessions where Donovan Mitchell was passing out, didn't want anything to do with Lu Dort. Now, when it came time to win, Donovan Mitchell, he stood up and he took that mantle, which is great. It's good. That's what you should do. But could he win it one day? I think it's certainly possible. I also think that, like, all defensive second team is a possibility for him this year. He's just competing at a super high level. And he's a really interesting personality. I don't think he's terribly dissimilar to like a Kawhi Leonard when it comes to personality. And in that, he is quiet and he likes to lead by example and he likes to lead with the energy that he plays with. Now, hopefully he becomes the level of player that Kawhi Leonard is. I don't think that's going to happen. But man, he really did some surprising stuff last night. Really did. His 26 points, which is a career high, which, I mean, I kind of don't like how you separate the playoffs and the regular season, because it's really not a career high. The dude scored 30. But when it comes to how the NBA does all this stuff, yes, career high, 26 points. And he shot the ball with confidence. And that's the thing with him, is that he continues to remain confident, which will be the number one factor for him on the offensive end, is if he can keep his confidence, because he will have nights where he goes 0 of 7. He's already had an 0 of 6 night in the preseason. He's going to have bad nights. It's just the way his shot is just, it's going to have a lot of variance to it. And so that will continue to go. But if his confidence doesn't wane, he could be a really special player, a really special player. And the Thunder have him locked up on what's a ridiculous contract. At Hun OKC fan, greetings from Hungary. Wow, we got people just all over the world. This is amazing. What do you guys think? What was the worst or best record for the Thunder to have a legitimate shot at the first pick in the draft next year? Thanks. Well, this is where the flattened lottery odds really screw with everything, because the Thunder don't have to be Knicks bad. They don't have to be Detroit bad. They can have the 7th or 8th worst record in the league and still get the number one pick, because the worst record in the league only has a 14% chance of getting it. 14%, this isn't great. It's better. It's the best you can get. And I think the Thunder would eventually like to have a 14% chance and have a better chance than anybody. But these flattened lottery odds have definitely screwed with everything. And so they don't have to be 18 wins bad. I don't think this team is 18 wins bad right now anyways. But they could be, they could win 28 games, 30 games, and still have, obviously still have a shot at it. But I still think at the end of the day, they would like to be bottom three, bottom five in order to get where they want to go. But there's some work to be done to get there. This is from at P underscore Artham. Does it look like Maledon took a step back since those preseason games? So here's the deal with these rookies and these young guys. And scouting departments have gotten really good in the NBA. But they didn't know anything about Tao. They didn't know anything about Poku. And both those guys look like they've taken a step back. But the truth is, one, they just played a really good team in the Utah Jazz last night, who really know how to use their length and athleticism, versus playing the Spurs, who are not a great team, or the Bulls, who are not a great team. And so young guys with inexperience are going to look like that against bad teams. Now, good teams, they're going to struggle because, one, Maledon and Pokuševski have not played against this level of competition in their whole life. And to adjust to that is going to take some time. So I wouldn't say that they've taken a step back. I would say that the team they played took a step up. And then also there's probably some scouts watching tape of this Thunder team and saying, okay, here's the tendencies of Tao Maledon. Here's the tendencies of Pokuševski. Here's what you guys have to do to just completely lock them up. And then it's going to be on those two to figure out what they can do on the court when NBA defenses are on them. And now they were playing an elite NBA defense last night in the Utah Jazz. So I wouldn't, the sample size is so low with both those guys that we need to see more. Like we need to see 20, 30 games before we can really say much about them for this season. And then guys improve. Like Cam Reddish has improved for the Hawks. He looked like garbage at the beginning of his rookie season. He's looked better. And a related question at underscore CL12 underscore. Realistic ceiling for Tao. I see a very competent backup, but not a starter based on his lack of athleticism. Yeah, I think that's a good assessment. I think it's a really good assessment of what Tao is for this Thunder team. I think that he will be a good backup. Now, It's going to depend on his shooting, but I think there's some potential in there too. But yeah, he doesn't have that burst of speed that makes you think, oh, okay, there's a lot more in there. I do think there's a lot more in there than what he's shown, and it's going to come from decision making and craftiness and things like that. At Medicine Clam, do you think Presti has a direct talk with these vets, spelling out the idea that they will likely be traded, or is it more of an understood thing? Sam is talking to these guys. He talked to Chris Paul. He talked to Paul George and Russell Westbrook. He's different. He's handling things differently than most franchises would. And that this is an open dialogue, especially with veterans. And, George Hill and Al Horford don't have necessarily what like Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, and Paul George had when it comes to stardom, but like those are important veterans in this league. They've been around a long time. They know everybody, and it's important to the Oklahoma City Thunder franchise to treat them with respect. And I'd also say when it comes to like partnering in a trade, when has it actually hurt the Thunder? I mean, you talk about, well, maybe it limits your options. Man, the Thunder, it didn't really matter. The Paul George and Russell Westbrook trades look better every single day. The more Houston loses, the better that trade looks for OKC with the Russell Westbrook trade. The Paul George trade is obviously outstanding. You look at what Shea's doing out there on the court now. I mean, you got that plus all the picks. It's unbelievable. I mean, if the Thunder just wound up with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and that's it, you would have said, wow, great trade. Great job. But they got a ton more. So I do believe that he talks directly to the players. I do believe that they work hand in hand on stuff. I don't know that he'll work hand in hand with Horford and Hill, but I think that he will be communicating with them on what's happening and will say, hey, do you want to go to Sacramento? And if they say no, then there's a chance that maybe they don't do the deal. And I know that some people may think that that's bad, but again, when has it hurt the Thunder? Like, name a time that it's hurt the Thunder. And I know, I'm not saying that I think that he did that with necessarily like Kelly Oubre and guys like that. And maybe he did. I don't know. But with these guys, I do think that there is direct communication with them. At Dan Mayan says, thoughts on Poku after two games. Poku's got a long way to go. He's got a lot of development to do. And he remains confident and he's trying and he needs to be able to pick his spots. But there's still a ton of potential in there. And really, it's just, we haven't had enough of a sample to really know what he's going to be. But I still think that there's still all the same potential that we thought he had at the draft. It's still there. At Panicked Waddle wants to know, how high is Bazley's ceiling now? Could he be the third best player on a future title contender? It's not impossible that he becomes the third best player on a title contender. He's been really good for OKC so far this season. In two games, he's averaged 12 points, 10.5 boards, block and a half. That block that he had on Mitchell last night. Oh, boy. That was really something. His three ball, shot this season from three. He is 3 of 9 from three on the season. So clearly nothing to panic or even analyze at all. 9 shots is not enough shots to really look at whatsoever. But he's looked different. He's looked a lot different. He's shooting pretty much any shot he wants with confidence. He went right at Gobert and into his chest, finished over him last night. That was really something. He's hitting his, he's only taken 2 free throws, so I can't even say he's hitting his free throws. He needs to get to the free throw line more, definitely. Only 1 of 2 in 2 games. He's got to increase that significantly. But really, one of the other things that I think that makes him different this year, he's got 2 fouls in 2 games, and he's played 66 minutes. That's impressive. And he's playing good defense, and he's going for blocks, and he's trying a lot of things. And to me, those are all really good signs. Now, you can take all of that and project it out, but that's not every NBA player progresses linearly. But if you think that he could, then yeah, absolutely. I mean, he handles, he shoots, he can hit a pull-up mid-range jumper, he can get to the basket. He can really do it all, but he's still got a long way to go to become the third best player on a title contender. That it would really just mean to me, if you could say that today, is that the first and second best players are Hall of Famers. If that's the case, then sure, absolutely, he can be the third best player on a title contender. But if you're talking just like all-star, like second team All-NBA type of guys, I don't know. I don't know if he can get there. I don't know if he can be that kind of guy. But he has looked improved. He looks like he's taken a jump.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Next question is from at Jasper H. Hammer. Obviously, talent is most important, but it seems that Shea, Dort, and Bazley have all bought into playing within an offense in an offense or team basketball. How important is that to start the rebuild? I think it's great. I also just don't think that any of those guys are talented enough to just say, make me the focal point of the offense. And they need an offense to make them better, to get them to their potential. And they're buying in. And when you're young and you're not like the number one pick in the draft or the number five pick in the draft, I mean, all these guys, I mean, Baisley was picked in the 20s, Dort undrafted, Shea picked, you know, late lottery. These are not guys, this isn't Zion Williamson or Ja Morant or anybody like that. Like, these are guys that weren't supposed to be stars, weren't supposed to be great players. And we're talking about Dort and Baisley. If you look at the odds of where they were, like the odds of Dort becoming anything, even a bench player, it's like probably less than 2%. Baisley becoming a starting level player, it's like less than 5% probably. So when you're talking about those guys, really the only thing for them is to function within an offense. And so, yeah, it's good, but it's also expected because none of those guys are good enough to say, let's play your turn, my turn. None of them are. I mean, Shea is the closest to it, but Shea still needs an offense. I mean, we saw, I mean, at the end of that Utah game, he got to the rim and he couldn't generate really the shot that he wanted. And so, they really hounded him, the Jazz team did. I wish he would have thrown it to Dort in the corner because Dort had the hot hand. But I also like that he was wanting to take the shot. And, you know, he hits the shot in Charlotte and he misses the one against Utah. I mean, that's a great percentage. 50% is pretty great. But I still don't know that Shea is on that level where it's like, give me the ball. I am the offense. And it's not really an insult to Shea. Because how many of those guys exist in the NBA? It's not very many. It's not as many as you think it would be. Not every team has that kind of guy. And could he develop into that? Yeah, sure. He could. As of today, he's not there yet. But I do think that playing the way they're playing and Coach Degnaud doing what he's doing, I think it's important. And I think that it is important to start the rebuild, certainly. But we also have to kind of be aware of who these guys are. I am Kev Kev Bot wants to know about a trade. Who says no? Oh, my goodness. What do we have here? Oh, he's got two pictures here. It's a three-team trade with the Thunder acquiring Julius Randle, Dennis Smith Jr., Kevin Knox, and a first-round pick from Dallas in 2021. That's kind of gross. The Knicks get James Harden and PJ Tucker, and then the Rockets receive Trevor Ariza, Al Horford, George Hill, and then a boatload of first-round picks from the Knicks. I just don't know. I mean, it is the Knicks. I mean, they're 2021 first rounder from the Clippers, 2021 Knicks pick, 2023 Knicks pick, 2025 Knicks pick, and then 2023 Dallas pick from round one from the Porzingis trade. What else do you have on that Knicks team? I just don't know. And then for the Thunder, Julius Randle, Dennis Smith, Kevin Knox, Dallas's first-round pick in this draft. Like, I really don't want anything to do with Dennis Smith or Kevin Knox. I just don't think either of them are very good or would be good for the culture. Kevin Knox is probably fine. He's probably neutral. Dennis Smith, I just don't want him taking minutes from anybody. I'd rather have Maladon, really. Randle's another, like, higher usage big. I don't know. It doesn't, obviously, none of that really matters. It doesn't really matter. I mean, you're losing Horford, so maybe you throw in Randle, but I don't know. I feel like maybe the Thunder could even do better than that overall. So I'd say no. I would say no if I'm the Thunder, for sure. If I'm the Rockets, yeah, I think I'd do that 100%. You get that many first-round picks for that many first-round Knicks picks. I mean, yeah. I think that's something that you probably need to do. Although they do want a young blue chip type of player, and that player is not in this trade for them. So they may even say no to that. Because that's, I mean, they really do. They really do want a young blue chip player. I mean, would you rather have that or Ben Simmons? I think there's definitely an argument that you'd rather have that many picks from the Knicks, for sure. But then I think that there's also, just depending on what the front office thinks, you may just rather have Ben Simmons and just hope that the 76ers cough up a little bit more. Maybe they will. Who knows? At lowercase Ryan, are the Nuggets this decade's Thunder? Amazing players that will never quite reach a title, and their fans will always wonder, what if? I don't think so. I don't think this Nuggets team is nearly as good as the Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant Thunder. Like, I don't even think it's close. I think they're good, though. I think the Nuggets are good. I think Jokic has been balling out. He's on my fantasy team. He's been balling out. So that's great. But yeah, I don't think that they're like definitely a what-if team. I think they probably outperformed what people thought they would last year with beating the Clippers. So I think that, you know, they're trying hard. Small market, trying hard. Denver's not exactly a small market, but you know what I mean. Keithan Faber wants to know, since I've already convinced myself that OKC will have picks 1 and 5, who are your targets at 5? Oh, holy moly. It's too early for that, but we can talk about guys that we like in the draft. Let me pull up a current mock draft and see where people are going, and then we can certainly discuss it. So Cade, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley kind of seem like the top three guys, at least today. Those guys are unbelievable. You would be pumped and jacked to get any one of those guys. I don't care. I know the Thunder really, they're playing Shea as the point guard. But if you have a chance to get Suggs, who is 6'4", he's not a small guy. And then Cade Cunningham, obviously 6'8", point guard, monster beast, man. Then yeah, you take him. And then Evan Mobley. You talk about positionless basketball. He and Baisley and Dort and Shea, I mean, holy moly. I would be super excited about that. But those are top three. So if they can get the 5th pick, who do we like? You know, these guys with the G League Select team, the Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga guys, are highly intriguing. And so if you basically can just sit back and get one of them in this draft, and you can sit back and you can take Kuminga, who's this 6'8 monster, 18-year-old, yeah, or Jalen Green, who people think very highly of, it's probably one of those guys. Then you look back, I mean, I haven't watched enough of like Duke. I haven't watched Jalen Johnson much. I haven't watched Moses Moody or Scottie Barnes all that much. So I can't tell you whether or not these guys are the right ones to take. But as far as heading into this season, I mean, whoever falls to me, Green or Kuminga, are probably the guys that you take just out of what they provided before the G League Select team.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called 6 Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out 6 pop culture-themed trophies for 6 basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make 6 Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow 6 Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
So let's see. At Augs, Armento wants to know about Coach Degnault, my thoughts on Degnault so far. I think he's been great. I feel like I've mentioned that some, so I won't spend a lot of time on that. But yeah, I think he's done a really good job. At A, Yount, _15, Duche, Dort, and Baisley all have legitimate shots to win MIP. Probably not. Probably just Shea. At Tan Newman, ask, who do you see being a better player in 3 to 4 years from now? Teo or Poku? Poku definitely has the higher ceiling. Teo has the higher floor. I would probably go with Teo just because I can. The path is much, much easier for Teo. At Tanking Thunder, if Lou Dort was a free agent today, what do you think is a fair contract for him? At this point, he seems underpaid. Yeah, definitely underpaid. Maybe 3 years, $24 million. How about that? A lot more than he's got now. At Thunder, _dad. Dort almost broke 30 again. Thoughts? I was surprised. It was very surprising. Almost as surprising as me choosing the ZLT wrap at the Thunder game. They have these boxes when you walk in for the media. You walk in, they take your temperature. They make you use hand sanitizer, and then you get to choose your boxed meal. I chose the ZLT, which is a zucchini, lettuce, and tomato wrap sandwich. The reason I chose it, my wife was like, who are you? What is wrong with you? Why did you choose that? It had some really good cheese on it. That's why I chose it. And you know what? It was delightful. But yeah, I was just as surprised that I chose that as I was that Dort broke. That he scored 26. That was really pretty crazy. At superhero _, would you rather have Cade Cunningham or Imani Bates? I don't know, man. Just give me one of them. I don't care. At Luke _Mansky. While it's early, what teams could target Hill and Horford before the deadline? And what would OKC look for in return? OKC is definitely looking for a first-round pick in return. I know some people are really getting a little miffed and a little peeved about these first-round picks. Why do we need so many first-round picks? It's kind of like asking the question, why do you need so much money? Or why do you want more money? I mean, that's really, it's the same because picks are the currency of the NBA. You can use them in a trade. You can use them in the draft. That's how the Thunder will get better. It's the only way they can get better. And the whole narrative that you can have too many first-round picks is quite possibly the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You do have to eventually cash them in and use them in a trade or pick a guy or whatever. Yeah, definitely. But to say, I've heard people say it, that you can have too many first-round picks. It's just like saying you can have too much money. And certainly there are people that have too much money, of course, but I don't think I would ever say it. I don't know anybody that would say, I just have way too much money. Well, that guy has too much money. It's just, he's wasting his money. I don't know. It's the currency of the NBA. And if you're a small market, and the Thunder are one of the smallest markets, you have to have some kind of advantage. And the advantage the Thunder have right now is that they have more first round picks than anybody in the league. And you know what? It still might not be enough. Because the Lakers have an advantage that's much, much bigger than having all the first round picks. And it's that you have a team in Los Angeles that's storied and won all the titles and has good ownership that's willing to pay a ton of money for everything. And the Thunder do have that with their ownership group, but they have Oklahoma City. And so to say they have too many first round picks could quite possibly be the dumbest thing I've heard. It's just stupid. Of course they want more first round picks, because if they get a guy in the next draft, that's good. Let's say they do get Cade, or they do draft Evan Mobley or Jalen Suggs. You're on your way. You get another guy in the next draft. Great. Then you have all these picks. you can then trade three or four of those picks and get somebody that's really good to join your team. That's kind of the purpose of this. It's not saying that, oh my gosh, the Thunder are going to choose 18 people in the next seven draft. You can't, obviously you can't do that, especially when they have keepers on their team already. It's crazy. But yes, they'll be looking for first round picks in return. I think for Hill, I think the Nets make a ton of sense, especially with Dinwiddie going down. He'll have surgery next week. How long will he be out? I don't know. But they could really use George Hill. He makes a ton of sense for them. And then with regards to Horford, I really don't know exactly who's going to trade for Horford, but they will be asking for some kind of pick compensation for both of them. At the middle speed, you get one redraft, excluding this year. Who would you have the Thunder pick and why? I mean, I think one of the easier ones in recent memory is probably OG Anunoby over Terrence Ferguson, because OG just slides into that Andre Robertson spot. Let's say the Andre still gets hurt. You slide in OG, you're probably still as good and then possibly better. And I mean, that may be enough to push you past the first round with those teams. That's fine. Also probably Joakim Noah. Back when they took Jeff Green, you could have had Joakim Noah. Obviously, that would have having Joakim Noah on the Russ KD teams would have been unbelievable. It's probably that one, because that it could be the difference between a title and no title for OKC. Whereas like OG is just like a more of a personal vendetta. At Lander Kyle, what's the biggest difference between Jalen Suggs and Cade Cunningham as draft prospects? Cade is obviously much bigger than Jalen Suggs. Suggs is more of a primary scorer than Cade is, but Cade can really score though. So I'd say those things. I mean, also the biggest difference for both these guys in college is that Jalen Suggs plays for like the best team in college, and Cade Cunningham plays for a team that's just kind of meh. So that's a big thing. Suggs is an outrageous passer. I think that Cade's got a little bit of work to do there. And then Cade is just like a commanding leader. I think he's unbelievable. And I think ultimately his NBA size and leadership stuff is what's going to lead to him probably being the number one pick. He's really special in that regard. At Boy Yami, how good would the KD era teams be if they had a guy like Dort? Well, they had Andre Robertson, and obviously Andre doesn't do what Dort does on the offensive end, but yeah, he would have helped. But you know, really what would have really helped is not having injuries year after year. At Fanatic _ OKC, do you think Dort can be a 15 to 13 point per game score in a couple of seasons? It's possible, but probably unlikely. At Keith and Ferber, again, wants to know how many of Hill, Horford, or Ariza are still on the roster after the deadline, and how many picks did the Thunder add by then? I would say Horford is still here. The other two are gone. They add two picks. At Tyler K. Field, games this team wins if Horford or Hill are not traded. 31 games. At Q Seahawk 88, who should the Thunder send to be on stage for the NBA draft lottery that will give us the best luck? Clearly, it's Lu Dort. At James Murray 69, is Lu Dort an all-star? Of course he's not. At Kyle Panabaker wants to know, is Al Baby Cakes really anti-tanking, reading his tweets and trying to determine if he's being sarcastic or serious against tanking? He's being totally sarcastic. At Corner Trey 3, is it time to give up on the Warriors' first-round pick, a top 20 protected, and begin to root for the Warriors and Wolves to tank, since OKC would receive both their second-round picks? Yes. At Up to Ask, I saw somebody post that Dort warms up defensively while everyone else runs shooting drills. Can you elaborate on what you see in the arena? Is he really that much of a psycho? The opposing team has to be watching him practicing steals and thinking, oh no. I do see him shooting, but I don't know. I don't know how you warm up on defense. So you're just like running laterally. I don't know. I haven't really seen that. I'll look for it next time. At Raunick _Junior, do you think Dort could actually average 15 points per game while playing elite defense? It's only been two games, but he's on a 20 point per game right now. He drove past Gobert with ease the other night, and his jump shot mechanics look decent. I think it's unlikely that he averages 15 points per game. It would be super cool. Maybe he exceeds the expectations, but I think it's unlikely. At Punder Up, How are you emotionally preparing for Steven Adams' return to the peak on Thursday? Feels more like Russ in D.C. than Russ in Houston on the good for him scale. But still, seeing him doing stuff Steve-O does against the Thunder is going to tug at the old heartstrings. I agree. It's going to be super weird. He's doing tons of... I watched the Pelicans, their last Pelicans game, and he's doing tons of Steven Adams-y things. He's setting great screens. He's really just doing all the dirty work for him. But yes, it's going to be, you know, a little bit painful to see him in that uniform in OKC. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Going to go to the chat now. Back to the chat. I have been off the chat this whole time. XG Graphics says Giannis over Adams. Yes, that was a dumb oversight by me. Yes, that is clearly what you would want, is having Giannis over Steven Adams, because you'd still possibly have Giannis. Let's see. Do you think Dort could average 15 points per game? Everybody wants to know that. I think the answer is no. Let's see. Anything else? 405 fan says that he likes Kuminga. Let's see. Sorry, I've completely slowed down. Hi from Greece. Hey, Christos. Thanks for joining again. Would I rather have Evan Mobley or Jalen Suggs from at MWeb? That's a great question. I might rather have Evan Mobley, just because the ceiling of a guy at his size that can do all those things is just, honestly, it's too intriguing for me to pass up. Because the thought, and it's unlikely that this would happen, just the thought of having Poku, Bazley, and Mobley on your front court is too intriguing. I would have to do it. I would just have to do it. Bazley scored 0 points in 19 minutes last year in his first game. He's so much better. They will get much better. Yeah, I agree. He's been incredible. Let's see. Yeah. That's great. Hello from Philadelphia, Jihad Jasper. Thanks for joining. Christian from Colorado Springs, thanks for joining. You guys are great. Just wonderful getting to chat with you guys today. Thanks for all the questions. Thanks for joining me in the chat. Penny Skillern wants to know, have I had cereal yet today? She's asking the big questions. This will be our final question. I'd have not eaten cereal today. Christmas morning here at the Schlecht household, we have just the most giant breakfast, including like a delicious egg casserole and bacon. Like we had candy bacon with nuts on it. It was outrageous. Little Smokies wrapped in bacon, put into a crock pot with brown sugar, just melting on. It's just unbelievable. We've got just all kinds of cinnamon rolls and stuff like that. So I think we finished off actually the last of the leftovers of that today. So back to the cereal grind tomorrow, back to the Wednesday pod tomorrow. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and we will talk to you again tomorrow morning.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.